This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. Sharon will read a wonderful passage from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and Dr. Wyatt will relate how, for two women, 12 years are made right.
Thank you, Dennis. We now move into the 9th chapter of Matthew, and this is about two women, both in serious need of Jesus' touch. I pray you will stay with us.
While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." Instantly, the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion. He said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out through all that district.
Thank you again, Sharon. This narration concerns two women, both of whom are restored in the 12th year, and both raise the question of ritual purity. But Jesus's first concern is always with needs rather than ritual. Matthew's narrative here is briefer than Mark's and Luke, and still he provides additional details that the others do not. Yet this abbreviated account includes all the essentials, the record of one day in which intertwined are the restoration of these two women, demonstrating again that Jesus does fulfill the prophetic expectation that the Messiah will deliver the blind, deaf, and dumb. Indeed, all afflictions must bow to the authority of Jesus. Jesus had been speaking when, as Matthew puts it, a certain official came up and bowed low. From the other gospel accounts, we learn his name is Jairus, and are led to understand that he was, as Mark will put it, a ruler of the synagogue. The synagogue was the center of local life, and such an official or ruler would in the first century be a man of substance and great influence. That such a man would come seeking Jesus for his help indicates his overwhelming desperation. You see, Jesus was considered by those in authority as at least misguided or even dangerous. And obviously, this man has first tried all other means for help that were possible. But he comes now courteously, for he bows low, or in the other gospel accounts, he falls at Jesus' feet. He is at his wits' end and shows abject humility and deep respect. Mark and Luke indicate that he has come because his daughter is grievously ill and are told later on the way that she has died. Matthew, in his brevity, wants us to be aware from the very beginning that this concerns a dead girl. And even when that is known, Jairus seeks Jesus to go with him. And now, along with Jairus, we are to witness another great miracle. Jesus has demonstrated his power over the sea, calming it with a word, and subdued the possessed man of Gerizim. Now upon returning, he will prove his power to vanquish all that plagues humanity. He has returned in fame, as stories of his signs and wonders have spread far and wide. Even those who normally remain aloof and are slow to accept the ministry of Jesus. But as we all know, when disaster strikes, you or your family, pride, pretenses, and elitism will fade into insignificance. This ruler has come to see only Jesus. He is at his feet, for he is desperate. For as Luke will add, it is his only daughter, dying, even dead. There is no hope except Jesus. Jairus, a prominent leader, had surely encountered Jesus in his previous visits to the synagogue of Capernaum. Had he been one of those critical of Jesus? One of those waiting to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath? But all that is now shoved into the background. For now, as it would be for anyone, it is about his daughter. He does not just ask for help, but from all the accounts we hear his plea, his great emotion, for he entreats Jesus to come with him and just lay his hands on his daughter. His deathly ill little girl of 12, his only hope is this man who stands before him. This is our first mention of laying hands on the sick. It was a common rabbinical practice, and obviously did lay his hands on the sick. But just as often, Jesus would speak just a word, and deliverance would come. But Jairus wants Jesus' presence, him to personally lay his hands on his daughter, for he must have Jesus there. Jesus will say nothing that is recorded, for us at least. And they do not go far before Jairus' desperation and urgency will be taxed to its limit. For a crowd has gathered, and it is pressing upon him, and they cannot move through the town as quickly as he might wish. And then something happens. A woman who has a severe discharge of blood which has lasted 12 years, a malady that is not only debilitating and critical, but would make her ceremonially unclean. She would be cut off from all religious worships or gathering, even all social contact. Her mere touch would make others unclean. That is why, with the throng of people crowding about Jesus, she approaches as she does, hopefully, unnoticed, from the rear. She has convinced herself that if she can but touch the fringe or tassels which adorn the edges of Jesus' cloak, she will be healed. Jesus has expressed his dislike for long tassels or the fringes of the Pharisees. His shimla, as it was called, would be significantly smaller. And the woman seeks to touch this, for the edges of the outer garment could not be contaminated. She need not have feared, for Jesus always met people's needs with total disregard for ritual or ceremonial concepts of purity. Jesus would do exactly what others avoided because of Levitical defilement. He touched the lepers, and as here, even the dead. What would defile others, he made clean, whole, and restored. It is his touch that reverses it all. It is his touch that goes beyond the narrow confines of defilement, sickness, even death. Here is another who has tried everything and nothing has helped. She spent all she had and it was all wasted, for it only added to her growing distress and desperation. And so she thought, if I can just touch the fringe of this great miracle worker, just the briefest of contacts, she could then slip away unnoticed and she would be healed. But when she manages to push, squeeze close enough from the rear, when at last she manages to touch the lower edge, at that very moment, she knows the hemorrhaging has ceased. She knows her body, after 12 long, agonizing years, is now whole. But she will not be able to slip away unnoticed, for her healing is not without the knowledge of Jesus. It is at this point some misunderstand and confusion has arisen. Was there some resident power in Jesus that he sensed had left him? Or as the ultimate prophet and son of God, did he simply know that his presence has wrought healing? The first actually resembles more some idea of magic, more than the activity of the power of God. It is important that we, even more than this woman, understand the working of God's Spirit, and it is not to be confused with superstition, no matter how well meant. Her touch did not release some divine power. It was an event in which both Jesus and the woman were active participants. It was not possible that she was healed without the knowledge and the will of Jesus. Those who imply differently are ignorant of what it is to be a true prophet of God, and certainly what it means to have the Spirit of God's indwelling. In her need, Jesus Christ would meet it. The idea that to just touch his hem could somehow alone secure her healing is more a belief that Jesus is a mere magician than the divine Son of God. Mark and Luke inform us she tries to conceal herself, but Jesus will turn and see her, and now gives her his full attention. It is important that her healing be known so that she can re-enter all of the community life, and her fears must be released. Fear of him or fear that he might take away her healing must be answered. But more important, she must know that she has not been healed by some form of magic, that all you need do is just touch Jesus to be cured. She must know it is by the power of God, by her faith in him, that she has been made whole, and for no other reason. That is why Jesus, in the midst of a crowd, can ask who touched him, because he knew one had been healed, and he knows who the moment he sees her. To doubt such is again not to understand what is a prophet, especially one like the Son of God. The warm gaze of Jesus calls the woman forward. With Jesus' words, "Take heart." This lets her know all is well. She has done what is not permitted, contact with a man, not her husband, in an unclean condition, but she need not fear. Jesus addresses her with an endearing term, "Daughter." Perhaps she is even young, and he commends her faith in the sense that she recognized Jesus' power to make her whole. She has been restored to a full life, and this is reflected in the language here, which is the language of salvation. After 12 long years, she begins life anew and immediately. She can go in the peace of a whole life because of Jesus. It is her faith or trust in him, not in some act, whatever she might have believed. He has brought wholeness to her. It is always Jesus who heals. It is always and only Jesus who makes one whole. This truth is what will be revealed even more fully now. The other Gospels relate that news now arrives that the little girl is dead, but Jesus will speak before Jairus or anyone else can say anything. "Fear not. Only believe." This is a remarkable statement. "Believe," he says, "believe in me. Just trust in me, Jairus." We do not hear of any response by Jairus, but Jesus will not allow the crowds to follow. He is not interested in the curious or critical, those only wanting to see another great sign or something new. This will require only a select few to witness what will now occur. But this is all complicated by the fact that when they do arrive, the professional mourners and the saddened friends have begun, even with the father's absence, in earnest to provide the expected and traditional atmosphere of mourning. The place is in a state of unrestrained noise and is distractive for what Jesus would do, and he commands them to leave. Despite appearances, Jesus tells them she has not yet been delivered to the realm of death, and all there believe they know better, and Jesus is laughed at by all present. That their wailing and tears could so easily and quickly turn to laughter reveals how artificial this whole scene is. Now the mourners and even friends are put outside, while Jesus, three disciples, and the mother and father go alone to where the child is. Jesus does not pray, nor does he lay hands on her. We have no record that he kneeled or recited anything. He simply takes her hand, and in one of the rare preservations of the original Aramaic, here by Mark, Jesus simply says, "Talitha kumi," "little girl, I say to you, arise." This is no story of a young 12-year-old girl waking from a nap. It's a miracle. This is a private act for a family, not a public spectacle. Nor would this little girl at this point need to witness all the previous commotion that he had put outside. Our story is a simple narrative, with a 12-year-old girl restored to her parents. There is no ceremonial defilement because of touching the dead any more than that from a woman infirmed for 12 years could defile him. Jesus turns defilement to cleansing, sickness to health, death to life. It is witnessed by three of his closest disciples that they might be able to testify to what has occurred. This is no attempt to keep this event secret, for now what all believed was a dead girl is restored. It is revealed that Jesus will make no effort with these two remarkable restorations to make an open show of it. There is no display, no proclamation, no getting up in front of crowds to use it as a platform to present his message. So very unlike many today, with public relation managers, agents, and advancemen, with publicity and advertising purchased. Instead, Jesus thought first and foremost of the need of the two, and the welfare and continued health of their restoration. He does do things far differently than many do today. I don't say that other ways are necessarily wrong, just that his model is different, and it is Jesus who is to be our source and ideal. Let us never stray from that truth. It is always and only Jesus, and regardless of what we might seek or ask of him, it is he alone that will meet us. We can push forward with some idea or come on behalf of a dear one and fall at his feet, but it is him we seek. Even if mistaken or we seek in error, he is able to touch, and nothing is too difficult. So push through the crowds, ignore the laughter or what others say. Just trust in him and believe. O Lord, in all our efforts, let it always be in your name. Let us seek your will and purpose. It is not to advance ourselves ever, but it is for your kingdom, that we might witness to every nation the truth that is Jesus, only Jesus. Amen and amen.
To further your aid in your walk in the Spirit, Thomas is offering his book, Profound Precepts and Promises. Thomas has captured these truths in his book, Profound Precepts and Promises. He takes one verse, John 3:16, and explains very carefully what these few important words mean, the extent of God's grace, the reason, and the how, and what it will ultimately mean for the believer. So ask for your copy of Profound Precepts and Promises. It is yours at no charge. We wish to thank you so much for all of your prayers and ask that you would consider being a part of our outreach. By supporting this ministry and offering large or small is always appreciated. Join with us in getting the encouraging Word of God to a world that so needs to hear it. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. We so like to hear from those in our radio audience, especially for those like Marcelina of Nebraska that expresses that God has blessed her and is giving thanks for all our prayers and for our just being there for her and for the many answers to prayer. I love to read such notes, and I encourage more of you to write. Dennis will give our addresses at the close of the broadcast, but now Gisela sings Kathleen Sullivan's appropriate hymn, Around Me. So until next time, may our Lord indeed renew your life.
Above me and below me, on my left. on my right, all around me and all through me, even in my darkest night, you are with me and within me and all through me.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. We also encourage you to write with any questions or inquiries. Always any CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his study, Profound Precepts and Promises. Here is an in-depth study of one of the most remarkable and familiar verses in our Bible. Dr. Wyatt expounds on the entire biblical message. This fascinating study can be yours for simply writing and asking for Profound Precepts and Promises. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses once more are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org or on facebook.com/Wings of Healing Radio. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.